Well, the Coalition is hoping that Scott Morrison's third budget tonight, with its sweetness and its tax cuts, will smooth the way towards the next election. But another event taking place in the national capital tomorrow may ensure the road ahead remains rocky for both the government and the opposition. The High Court will decide tomorrow whether Labor Senator Katie Gallagher should be removed from Parliament because she was a dual citizen when she was elected. This case could help end nearly a year of confusion over which MPs are eligible to sit in our Parliament. But it could also trigger a new wave of by-elections that test both federal leaders before the next election is called. Anne Toomey is Professor of Constitutional Law at the University of Sydney. Anne Toomey, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thank you very much, Fran.
So this has been going on for a while now. We've had 10 MPs either stand aside or be booted from the Parliament because of citizenship concerns under Section 44. And I think we're still confused about how to interpret this law. Will tomorrow's ruling by the High Court on the Katie Gallagher case finally give us some clarity and help end this constitutional crisis?
Well, we all hope so. So lots of pressure here on the High Court to be give us a nice clear rule. But it should get us fairly close to resolving most of the issues that have dogged us for some period of time. So, yes, we are getting close to the holy grail of actually understanding how Section 44 applies, so that in future there should be no excuses in relation to people getting it wrong.
We have learnt some things. We have learnt that just because you don't know you're a foreign citizen doesn't matter, and that was the case for Barnaby Joyce and Fiona Nash. We've also learnt that if there's doubt whether you can actually renounce your citizenship, whether you're allowed to, whether you can do that, does matter. Matt Canavan remained a senator because of that. I think I've got that right. So what we're testing here with Katie Gallagher is something else. It was what we all understood was reasonable steps. If a politician had taken reasonable steps to renounce, even if they hadn't renounced, then that was good enough. Is that what we're testing here?
Yeah, it is. So it all goes back to a case concerning Mr. Cleary back in 1992. And so the dilemma facing the High Court when it looked at this the first time was that it's incredibly unfair if people are permanently, who are Australian citizens, are permanently prevented from being a member of Parliament simply because they hold dual citizenship with another country that refuses to let them renounce. And so that has always been seen as a problem. So when that
I'm just going to interrupt you. Your phone's going a bit wobbly. I don't know if you can move somewhere.
That's better? Okay.
Yeah, that's a little better.
Okay, so when the High Court addressed that in 1992, they said, well, that they're not going to interpret the Constitution so strictly as to exclude those people who would be permanently disbarred because they hold citizenship in another country that doesn't allow them to renounce. And that's when they introduced the reasonable steps test. And the problem is there's some ambiguity in it, because when they first referred to reasonable steps, it was simply in the case of those people who couldn't renounce or could only renounce by having to do unreasonable things. Mm. But then further down on the page, they just talk about the fact that you only need to take reasonable steps. And so what's the uncertainty here is whether the reasonable steps test applies regardless of whether or not you could renounce. So you just have to do everything in your power to have renounced before the nomination date, even if it's not processed, or whether or not that test solely relates to circumstances where you otherwise could not renounce because the other country wouldn't let you.
Okay, so in the case of Labor Senator Katie Gallagher, which is before the court, she referred herself to the court. She renounced her British citizen before the last citizenship, before the last election. She did all the paperwork, sent it off. But basically, the British bureaucracy didn't finish the process until after she was elected. It took a long time. I think by anybody's measure, it took a long time. So this ruling will decide whether that's reasonable steps. The federal government has already said it won't be, because that's a much higher bar than that. What do you think?
Well, look, I think that she's definitely in trouble. One can never, you know, predict how the High Court's going to go. But the difficulty here is that she comes from a country where you can renounce your citizenship. And so the question is simply one of timing. And so the question here is, does the High Court say, no, you've actually got to get it done before the relevant date, or it's simply good enough if you did all you could do before the relevant date. Now, what we know that the High Court's looking for is certainty. It wants a nice, clear line that can be applied in the future, even if that means a whole lot of people get skittled over on the way towards certainty. Now, when looking at the transcript of the High Court hearing on this, the sorts of questions the judges were asking up at the end of the transcript suggested that they thought that certainty might be better, might work better if it was simply the case of you had to have got rid of your dual citizenship before you become, before you nominate. Now, if that's the case, then she's in trouble. On the other hand, if they decide that no, sufficient certainty if you just say you have to do everything within your control before that relevant date, then she's okay. So it's a borderline thing here, but having looked at the transcript, you know, you'd say the odds are slightly more against her than for her because they didn't seem very happy with the argument on grounds of certainty. So that, that's going to be the key thing that shifts it one side or the other.
All right. I want to look to the future, but just in the immediate future, the implication, the ramifications of this could also spell trouble for Labor MPs Susan Lamb, Justine Key and Josh Wilson, and also Centre Alliance MP Rebecca Sharkey. Already, Mark Dreyfus, the Shadow Attorney General, says that even if Katie Gallagher loses her case, Justine Key and Josh Wilson won't necessarily be in trouble. What do you think?
It depends on the facts and how the High Court does its judgment. So there are some specific facts that relate to the Katie Gallagher that wouldn't necessarily apply to the others. So it depends very much on how the High Court sets its lines and sets its limits. So we just have to see where along the line they decide to impose the test.
So, and just briefly for this question, what's the process if they rule Katie Gallagher out, if they do, what happens to these other four? Is there an automatic assumption that they would follow to by-elections, or would they need to refer themselves to the High Court first to be adjudicated on? What has to happen?
Well, because they're lower house MPs, you could simply resign if it's clear on the face of it that you haven't met the test. So if it's clear to everybody, they could simply resign, hold a by-election. You don't need to go back to the court because you don't need the court to make an order to do a recount, which you do in the Senate. So in relation to Katie Gallagher, they need to make an order about a recount. But for all the other people who are affected, who seem to be in the lower house, you don't need that. You'd only refer them if there was some doubt or question as to whether or not this ruling applied in relation to them, or if they were just unwilling to go, even though it was clear on the face of it they needed to go. So in those cases, they might be referred. But otherwise, if it's screamingly obvious that they've not met the requirements that the High Court has now laid down, then the obvious thing is to just, you know, resign and then rerun for your seat. Okay. One advantage if you're in the lower house is you can rerun for your seat, unlike the senators. So, you know, they should be able to get back so long as the people still support them.
And in the minute and a half we've got left, Liberal Senator Linda Reynolds is chair of the committee looking at this. She says we really need a referendum. Is there another way short of a referendum to fix this? Because clearly it is a little out of whack. Could the AEC have tougher rules when would-be candidates put their hands up? Is there legislation that could do anything here?
Well, if you fix it in advance by either the political parties or some legislative process, making sure that people clear it up before they become MPs, that would obviously help.
Well, that's a big tick, yep.
But the other way is to try and actually just stop people from challenging it. So if the parties wanted to, they could always say, well, we're not going to refer, and the parliament could actually refuse to let anybody else challenge it. But I think that would be a bad solution because it would basically mean harbouring in your parliament people you know shouldn't be there. And that's not really a very good look, particularly in terms of trust of members of parliament. So while technically it's an option, I don't really think it's a goer.
Okay. Well, a big day tomorrow in the High Court, a big day for you, Anne Toomey. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anne Toomey is Professor of Constitutional Law at the University of Sydney. And as we said, there's a lot riding on this because it could potentially lead to four by-elections in the run-up to a federal election. And neither major party, I can tell you, wants that.